There hasn't been any significant change in terms of policy and legislative environment. We see that almost for a decade now, there's been widespread systematic targeting of human rights defenders in order to paralyze their ability to effectively protect the rights of others. And what we have seen is that because human rights defenders have the ability to identify violations and document them and to publicize them, they have in fact become the subject of targeting by authorities. And so we don't see a major change in terms of state policy. But what we also have seen is that the human rights defenders themselves have become more organized, stronger, and have adopted response mechanisms to this oppressive environment.
Let's now talk about the actual report titled Zimbabwe, Ongoing Risks for Human Rights Defenders in the Context of Political Deadlock and Pre-Electoral Period. Please delve a bit into that.
The FIDH and the World Organization Against Torture as the observatory did a monitoring mission in 2008, just before the inclusive government came into being as a result of the global political agreement in Zimbabwe. And then the expectations on the part of human rights defenders was that the coming into being of an inclusive government that would be composed of people who used to be in the opposition and the old government might create a better operating environment for human rights defenders. And so when we went this time around, we were trying to see whether the situation between 2008 and 2012 had improved. And what we saw was that the key players in government, both in ZANU-PF and the MDC, their mode was shifting from that of implementing the global political agreement into an electoral and power retention mode. And the result was that, therefore, people were not focusing on reform that are necessary for Zimbabweans to effectively participate in elections, but they were actually focusing on strategies to retain power. And the result was, therefore, that human rights defenders faced as much persecution during this time as they have always faced before the inclusive government.
Let's go back to what you mentioned about the legislative environment not being conducive for human rights defenders in Zimbabwe. There's been a constant calls by different human rights organizations for repressive laws which stifle the operating environment for human rights defenders, such as the Public Order and Security Act, to be amended. What does this act entail, if you could just enlighten us, and why is there a need that it be changed?
What it entails is that it prevents enjoyment of fundamental freedoms. It limits association to below three. If you're going to have a meeting involving more than four people, then you have to notify the police and you have to get permission of the police for such meetings. So the effect of that is that human rights defenders cannot effectively mobilize themselves to act collectively against anything that is a threat to the enjoyment of human rights. Then secondly, it also allows the police to arbitrarily search and seize property, and that has been used to paralyze the work of human rights defenders, but in particular to confiscate information and equipment of human rights defenders.
You've also spoken about coping mechanisms that human rights defenders have had to establish against the oppression that they face in Zimbabwe. What exactly are you referring to? What sort of mechanisms have they had to establish?
Generally, human rights defenders have had a lot of training on security assessment, on storage, you know, secure storage of electronic information and evidence that they document and gather. They've also generally secured their offices a bit more in Zimbabwe. Offices of human rights defenders, when we visited this time around, they're generally quite barricaded in order to prevent, you know, possibly entry or to delay entry in the face of determination on the part of authorities who may be wanting to disrupt the work of human rights defenders. Then we also see that the alternative storage of information outside Zimbabwe, that is critical for human rights defenders to prove there are cases when the situation becomes correct that is happening, and I think we encourage it. And then the other thing is that there's also greater networking on the part of human rights defenders, where the targeting of one human rights defender raises bigger response from the human rights defender family, which is also good, because then it means an attack on one becomes an attack on many.